Yeah, so we want to give thanks for another good morning that we can praise God and worship God and be in His presence and listen to His word. And for those who've been following, at times we think we can easily get lost to what was our core. Our core is Hebrews chapter 1, where we read that in sundry times and in diverse manners God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. But in these days, He has chosen to speak to us through His Son. You know, His Son being the express image of His likeness, you know, the exact manifestation image of His being, and who holds and sustains all things by His mighty hand and sustains the universe. By Him, all things were made, and in Him, you know, everything. And who, after He had, you know, He had purged our sins, and He sat at the right hand of the Father, of the Majesty, and He rolls from there. And how we are seeing that, how God has been revealing Himself in the past. And that tells us that in the Old Testament, we must always ask ourselves, how is God revealing Himself and pointing to Christ? Because Christ is the final revelation of God, of who God is and of what He expects of us. And anyone who comes to the understanding that Christ is the, I mean, we are being conformed into the image of His Son. You know, like Adam was made in the image and likeness of God, and as a result of that, he was covered by the glory of God. I mean, God only made everything for him perfect. He made everything for him good. I mean, all he needed to do was just to take care of the garden. But then when sin crept in, the image of God, that the exact likeness was destroyed. And likewise, creation also rebelled against Adam, you know, because creation was actually subject to Adam. I mean, God told him to have dominion over everything, over the fish of the air, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every creeping and living thing, over the plants. And you see, that time there were no wild animals, because God did not make any animal wild. Because and Adam, they will come to Adam and he will name them, and whatever he named the animals, that was their name. But you see, when he sinned, creation rebelled against him, and the creature was subjected to bondage. That's what we read in Romans chapter 2, that the creation has been eagerly in expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. So for the revelation, when the sons of God come into maturity, then creation will also respond and yield its fruit, because creation, or rather the world, refuses to yield its fruit because of sin, because of the bondage of corruption. And that is when animals became wild. We had unclean animals. But you see, in the final restoration in the final restoration of the garden, we know that, we read that the lamb will eat with the lion, and they will both eat grass. The lion and the lamb will both eat grass, you know, and the child will play with a snake, you know, because there'll be no tears, no more anger, no more fighting, no more sin, you know, no more pain. And that is a place that we look forward to, that final time when the Lord shall establish His kingdom on the earth. And based on that, we've been looking at the life of Jacob and trying to draw lessons. And we've started looking at the fathers. We looked at the fathers. We looked at Enoch. We looked at Abraham. We looked at Noah. We looked at his father, Isaac. And now we've been looking at Jacob. And for me, I've been saying that Jacob is the one man who represents labor under the sun, who represents human effort, who represents striving, who represents that spirit of coming second place, or that vagabond spirit, someone who's living a life of selfishness, who's living a life of, you know, of competition. I mean, from the moment he was born, he was already holding his brother's heel. He was already trying to be number one, and yet he was born number two. Yet he did not know that the ordination of God, that he was born to rule and to be number one in God's eyes. And that is how many believers are, or rather many human beings are. They are striving to make their own destiny. They are striving to make their own purpose, to find purpose in life, yet not going back to the source, the true source of your purpose, the true person who will help you know your destiny, who will help you know the ordination that God had for you is Christ. I mean, when you come to God and through your faith in Christ, then you are able to be established. You are able to know your you're able to know what God has purposed for your life, and you're able to find your destiny. And any man who does not enter into this rest of God then is always a restless wanderer. You will be moving from job to job. You'll be, you know, not in peace. You'll always be, you know, having a hustler spirit, working in bondage with nothing to show for it. And even if you have things that you've acquired, all these things can be lost in a day because you're always in worry that any time the anti-corruption unit will appear, and so many people are losing their properties because once their lives are audited, then they realize that their salaries could not have acquired the wealth that they have. And of course, once the government cracks down on them, they lose everything. And of course, this spirit of scheming, you find that you're always scheming, you're always manipulating people, you know, you're always using people to your own advantage. You know, the schemers are people who use people. They might be even in employment, like Laban was using Jacob. You know, I mean, he clearly used him, and Jacob, on the other hand, once he was named his wages, he also used his uncle, and he acquired so much property. And that's why the sons of Laban said, no, this guy has become rich on our account, on our fathers, and all the wealth of our father has gone to him. And they were ready to, you know, to fight him. And that is why Jacob ran away. And of course, we read how Laban also chased after him, but God, the God of Jacob, met him in the night and told him, don't say anything good or bad to my servant. And you see, that is the protection of God, even when we still don't know him. You know, when you look at your life, I'm sure you've seen places where God has intervened, even when you do not deserve his intervention. And that is the grace of God, because that is prevenient grace, where God already reaches out to you. And that's why I keep saying that Christianity is not a religion. It's not like any other type of religion, because religion is man's attempts to get to God, whereas Christianity, or rather authentic faith in Christ, is that God is the one who actually reached out to us, and God is the one who went out before us, and he went out and reached to us. And so anyone who's having this orphan spirit, anyone who feels they're all alone, anyone who feels that, you know, they're never at rest, you can't take rest for sleep, you know, for your health, you know, you can't sleep. I mean, fear of being sacked, fear of poverty, always trying to fight for your rights. You're always just thinking of tomorrow. You're not enjoying the blessings of today. You just want to make it by all means, hook or crook, you know, where you say the end justifies the means. And I mean, and also not rejoicing in the success of others, where you believe others corrupted their way or they use sexual means, you know, to get to the top. And at times also, if you had the chance, you will do the same. I mean, if you've ever had, if you looked at some of the communications of people, when someone is corrupt, they is caught, they laugh, they say that even me, if it were me in that shoes, I would have done it. So they celebrate corruption, even you see in the type of leaders that are elected, because they just say, it's just that we do not have the chance, but if we get the chance ourselves, we will do the same. So clearly we see that that the striving spirit is actually a spirit of bondage. And what we talked about is that all these spirits are actually, they serve the spirit of mammon, you know, the spirit of money. And the reality is many people, many Christians even, are slaves to money. And the decisions that they make are money-based. And when you find that you are always operating from the spirit of poverty, from the spirit of the orphan, from the spirit of Cain, you know, the vagabond, the spirit of poverty, you find that your decisions are money-based. The person that you marry, you assess first his financial worth. I mean, of all the three men that are proposed, then you only take one, the one that you think has either has the money for now or has the potential to make money, and not the will of God. Because when the will of God comes, it might not be that person who has a television, but actually the one who has a vision, you know. And so there are many things that tell us, I mean, what we might be struggling with. And what I say is that if any of this, I mean, reflect to what you're going through, it's not something to fight. It's not something to fight about, but rather it's something that you can bring to the Lord in prayer. and you can bring it to the Lord to the pool, you know, because like the blind man, when the one that was born blind, when Jesus sent him to the pool, put mud in his eyes, when he washed the first time he washed his eyes, what he saw, that he saw men as trees. And Jesus told him, wash again. And when he washed the second time, then he saw clearly. And that for me is a representation of how God expects us to be working, because there are things that we might that need washing in our lives, and we are washed by the word of God. And at times we are washed and we are not yet 100% clean. And we see things differently. That's not according to the word of God, but what he tells us is to wash again. And every time we come to the word of God, we are being washed. We are being washed. Something is being broken. And as it's being broken, then we are being conformed. We are being conformed. That is the conformation into the image of Christ, because Christ is the image of God, and God desires that we are conformed into his image. And the life of a believer is one that must be transformed from one level of glory to another, as we behold his glory, as we behold Christ, as we behold him through the word of God, we are conformed and transformed into his image. So we looked at the encounter of Jacob with God, and this was Genesis 32, and this was from verse 22, where he met the man who wrestled with him the whole night. And remember, we had mentioned that he had already sent his family, he was alone. And it is this battle that he fought alone the whole night. And that tells us the kind of things that we have to go through. There's a time that you'll have to lock yourself up the whole night and until God answers. I have a friend, or rather a brother, who, I mean, of course, I wouldn't mention names, but he for some time they didn't have a child, and he gave me the testimony that one day he just locked himself in a place and he said, God, I'm here to sit with you, you know. and he prayed and prayed and prayed until God gave him the answer that, okay, you'll have a child, and now they have a son, you know. So there's a day that you'll have to wrestle with God. You have to just lock yourself up until God answers you, and you say that, I'm not leaving until God, you answer me. And if he doesn't answer you, what you do is you go back and eat, and you go back and meet your family, and you come back the next day and you start wrestling. And that wrestling in prayer is what results in breakthrough. Anyone who has not gotten to that place of wrestling with God, and until you get to the point where you break through, that is how intercession is made. That is how breakthroughs come. Those are some of the secrets of the men of God, that you can deal with God. You can deal with God, whether it will be at the point where you make a covenant with God, like Sarah. Sorry, not Sarah, like the mother of Samuel, you know, Hannah. She got to a point where she prayed so much until she said, God, if you give me a male child, I will give him to you. And that is all God was looking for. God was looking for a womb that will bring forth his prophet on the earth, you know. And at times, many barren situations just need women to just get to the point of brokenness and make covenants with God that the children they are to bring are going to be servants of God. They are going to be children that God will use for his own purposes. And when that point is reached, then God answers, and we should be people who honor our word. And Hannah was a woman that honored her word. So one of the things that will help us to be delivered from this spirit of bondage, this spirit of poverty, this spirit of being a slave to mammon, is actually brokenness. Brokenness means that you are no longer having the energy, or rather having the pride, or having the authority that you feel that you are a self-made man. Anyone who is of God is not self-made. Anyone who has come to the point of brokenness realizes that where they are is a product of many graces, is a product of the mercy of God, is a product that it has taken God to break that spirit. And when God breaks that spirit, body and mind, like the hip of Jacob was broken. And the Bible says that in the morning when he woke, he was limping. As he walked, he was limping. And that's why the Israelites don't eat the socket of the hip. You know, whether it's of animals or of whatever, they don't eat that, because their father was, that was the place he was touched by the angel. But you see, that limping was a constant reminder to Jacob that he is no longer Jacob but Israel. And there are things that God breaks in us that have to be a monument. They have to be a constant reminder that we are not where we are on our own effort. And unless you recognize that, then it will remind you that you are a work of grace. Even for Paul himself, he said that a messenger from Satan was given to him to keep him from being proud, despite all the revelations that he was getting. And three times he asked from the Lord to have it removed. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." In your weaknesses, that's where I am strong. And so anytime you notice in your life that you have specific weaknesses, and this does not mean sin. You know, I mean, we are supposed to live above sin. We are not supposed to live in sin. These are things that maybe it is a sickness. Maybe it is something that constantly keeps bothering you and you keep wondering why. Why, God, is this not being lifted? That is something that keeps you humble, that keeps reminding you that, honestly, I need the grace of God. And that is how God works with us. There is no man that God uses that he has not broken. A second area that God will help us to be delivered is actually humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Any person that is proud cannot be used of God. And Jacob was a proud man, but once he was broken, you can see how he reacts to his brother. He calls him Lord. Even from his words, he said, "Oh, if I find favor in your eyes, oh, why go with us like this? You just go. I mean, we are going slowly." You know, like, he is no longer the same man that he was. And I'm sure his brother, in as much as he came with the 400 men ready, maybe to destroy him, but along the way he realized that his brother has changed. This is not the brother that was struggling to steal from him. This is not the con man. Remember when he cried bitterly, he said, "This brother of mine has deceived me two times. First he stole my birthright, then he has stolen my father's blessing." So Esau was coming most likely in revenge, but he could not attack Israel. So when God has changed you, when your life is changed, when your life is hidden in Christ, when the enemy comes looking for Emmanuel, the old Emmanuel he does not find. Have you ever found yourself where someone was coming with so much vengeance for you, but then when he meets you, he realizes all that anger disappears, because he realizes he's not dealing with a human being, or he's not dealing with the person he expected. Because Christ covers you in that moment. Christ covers you in that moment. I remember the other time I was just coming out of church, and this motorbike man, I don't know what, he just entered, whether it was me who saw him or I did not see him, but the guy just came and knocked himself under my car. And the man came out ready to fight. And you know, in South Sudan, anytime there's an accident, it's just war. And the guy just came, and he just came to the window, and he was just like, "Get out of the car. What is it, your problem? What? And I just lowered the window and I just said, "Malesh." And that to us means just sorry. And the man just looked at me. He calmed down. He breathed in, breathed out. Then he went back to his bicycle, his motorbike. He pulled it up. He just checked one thing and then he said, "It's not too bad." And then he drove off. And for me, I could say, I wasn't ready to fight him. And all I can say is that God in that moment covered me. God in that moment made this man realize that he's not dealing with any other normal junubin that he will meet. And the moment they have an accident, they are going to just start fighting and boxing each other and shouting at each other. But there's a place that God covers us. And this was how God covered this man, Jacob, transforming him to Esau. Humility. When you humble yourself, humility is a key that will preserve you in the toughest times. Humility will preserve you when men are ready to destroy you. Humility will preserve you when people have turned against you, and when people expect you to fight, and you just humble yourself. Why? Because you are no longer trusting in your own human effort to fight for yourself, but you're trusting in the living God. You're putting your trust and your hope in the living God. Another important area that will help us to be delivered is actually love. when you love your brother, when you love God, then you do not want to hurt your brother or your sister. You do not want to get ahead at the expense of your brothers and sisters. I was just laughing with someone in the office, and he was saying how a young boy who was barely 16 was telling him everything. He adds a prize, and the guy's like, no, but this is not the prize, and the target is that he will tell you he does not have change of 5 taka, so that everything will just, you will give him more. And when he asked him, but why are you doing this, the young boy says, but this is business. So, and for me, it hit me that sadly, that is how our world is geared to, that people are taught that business is just profit, profit, profit. And many people are living their lives in that angle where it doesn't matter, as long as they can get 3 times from you, as long as they can get 4 times from you. But the question is, this person that you have sold for this thing that is above even the market value, when he finds out the real price and then he asks, are you really a Christian? What testimony is it that you have created? But you see, the men of the world do not care about such things. To them, it is part of business. To them, I mean, for you to be employed by them, you must give them 10% of your salary. You know, for them, that is how they operate. They don't care. If you don't take it, it's up to you. If you don't corrupt your way, it's up to you. They will give it to someone else, and they can tell you how long it will take. But the question is, do we fall under the masses of men because we need bread for today? Or can we still be patient to hear from God? What does God expect of us? What would Jesus have done in that situation if we are to ask ourselves? So we must love. We must love. And a fourth area that needs us to be delivered, and I think I'll continue this tomorrow in our deliverance, how we can be delivered, is the heart. The Bible tells us, guard your heart with all due diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. You must learn to guard your heart. Why? Because your heart is a gate. When it says flows the issues, actually they're referring to your heart being a gate. The state of your heart determines how you respond to the world. If you find someone is angry, no matter what you do, it will never look good in their eyes. Anyone who is proud, no matter how much you achieve, will always want to put you down, because they will show that they are better than you. Our heart is the most deceitful and wicked things above all else. Who can cure it? But God judges the heart. What is the heart by which we work? What is the heart by which we help people? What is the heart by which we do things? When you give to the poor, what is your heart? Is it to be seen on Facebook as a generous man? When you give to the poor, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel that you're better than the poor man? Or does it make you respond that this is someone who is made in the image of God and desires and also needs to be respected and honored in that image of God? All these things are matters of the heart. What is the state of our heart? Are we at peace? Are we at rest? Remember, the only evil spirits that cannot have rest. But our God is a God of rest. Only evil spirits that are restless. That is why they wander from place to place looking for places of rest. That's why they stay in water bodies. But then, when they cannot find rest, they come back to the house where they were cast out in the first place. And if the heart is still the same, if the heart is not filled by the Holy Spirit, if the heart has not entered the place of rest, they look for 7 other wicked spirits, more wicked than itself. And the state of the man is worse than it was in the beginning. And that's why you find people who are delivered becoming worse than they were before. Why? Because they did not replace that. They did not address the heart issues. The heart is the core issue, is the foundation of all things. What is the state of our heart? Are we restless in our hearts? Are we worried in our hearts? Even when we ask our children of things, is it because we fear that God cannot provide for us? What is the state of our heart? Our heart must be fully dependent on God if we are to survive in these last days. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. When our hearts are at rest and are at peace in the hands of God, then we shall not worry about tomorrow. We shall not worry about what to eat or drink. It does not mean that we will not work. Yes, we will work, but we will work from a point of rest. We'll work from knowing that even if this door does not open, God has a better door that is coming. Even if this person says no, God has someone that is prepared for me. Even if this opportunity does not come through today, God has a better plan in the future. Even if I don't get this land today, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. There is still something better that God has prepared and anticipated for us. So we must learn to operate from rest. Rest, rest. The Bible says that he that enters into God's rest, rests from all their labors. We need to strive in. We must purpose to enter into God's rest. Rest, rest, rest. May the Lord bless his word. I'll stop there for now. Yeah, if anyone has a response, please feel free, and then we will pray. Yeah. Okay, if there's no further addition, we can pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we give you thanks, we praise you, we worship your holy name. Thank you for your word that has come forth in your divine power. We know that this is not of me, this is not of us, but it is from your throne room. And Father, we return all the glory to you. The Lord, indeed, you're teaching us to enter the place of rest, because you say that he that enters into your rest, there remains a day that we can enter into that rest, that if we do not harden our heart, as we did in that day, that Lord, we shall enter your rest. And I pray for everyone listening to me that they shall enter your rest. And that place of rest is a place of repentance, is a place of recognizing that it does not take man, but it only takes God. It's only the mercies of God we are not consumed. And I pray that, Lord, we shall be restored to the place of rest. We shall stop striving on our own human effort. We shall stop striving so much to do so many things. Yet, you've called us to just sit at your feet, O God, to be men of God, to be servants of God who just sit at your feet, O God, to love you more than these things, to love you more than these buildings, to love you more than these efforts, to love you more than these programs, to just love on you, O God, that you've called us to the place of love, to the place of understanding. And even for those that do not know you, God, I pray that they come to the place of truth, that salvation is found in no one else but in Jesus Christ. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. I pray that you bless the work of our hands, bless our going in, our going out. Give us recovery, give us strength, O God. May we be guided, directed, and led of you. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. May your name be with us. And cover us in all these things. Bless our families, bless our children. Go ahead of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Bye bye. Have a good morning and good day ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you are.